Welcome to the 11 o'clock worship hour at the Hayward Seventh-day Adventist Church in Hayward, California. It is a multicultural Adventist church that is worshiping God under the banner of the three angels' messages, including the fourth angel's message of the gospel, which God wants to be proclaimed to all of the world, that came in a special way in the 1888 message that God gave this people in the Minneapolis Conference. It's a message of righteousness by faith, a unique understanding of justification by faith, including the uplifted Savior on the cross who forgives us of our sins, who died for us, and who is now serving as our high priest to minister his cleansing power in order that we may be prepared for Jesus' second coming. So we welcome you to this hour of worship.
When Paul called me some time ago, he said, would you like to take my place? And I thought to myself, no, I don't think I can do that. But I didn't tell him that. I said, yes. Of course, it's much harder now that I'm here than I was when I was on the phone. But I have been praying that he will have a good time and that he will return to you again. What was suggested that I do is because you so graciously gave to me approximately $426 towards my trip to India, that I would share with you some slides. But I've been one that has a difficult time saying, well, we can just talk about a travelogue during 11 o'clock. And so I'm going to try to show a few slides, and then move into the message this morning. When I was about, from about 5 until 8, 9, 10, 11 years old, every summer, my mother and my brothers and sisters would all go to the strawberry fields. And this is, of course, before it was sun up, because you started early and the dew was wet on the strawberry leaves. And my mother would say, well, you know, you pick a little bit slower than I do. So she tells me, you're going to take care of your baby sister. Now, what she would do is put my sister in a small wooden box that was made out to be a crib. And I would drag her along and then pick more strawberries and then drag her along. And my mother would just be gone because she was so a hard worker and very fast picker. She could pick a lot of strawberries in one day. I never knew that this kind of life would eventually lead me to what I'm doing today. But I want to say that because of my mother and because of all the other gifts that God has given to me, I am where I am. And yet, we still have such a long ways to go. Is that right? But nothing is impossible for God. Because when I started to thinking, somehow the Holy Spirit impressed me that I should be a part of those who went overseas to visit the deaf people and to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with others. So I sent an email to Dorothy Watts, who is very enthusiastic about the work for the deaf in India. She's the wife of the president of the division there. And when she was asked this question, what will you do for the rest of the Indian deaf people in that country? She says, well, I never thought about that. And here, a true mother in Israel just determined that she was going to do everything she could. Because of John Blake and Dorothy's efforts, the work in India has been going on for the deaf about 9 years. And at this time, we're just so happy to be able to say that because of GO, which is an organization at Walla Walla, they have sponsored about 20 deaf workers for the Indian deaf people. Praise the Lord. That's a lot more than here in America, right? And so we're going to start on our trip. On the right side is a young lady who's my interpreter. When I went, I thought that I would have only Indian Sign Language, but I found out that it's British Sign Language. British Sign Language is about one-third similar to American Sign Language. So I was able to carry on a very rude, rough conversation with a few of them, but I still needed an interpreter, and she was my interpreter, a very good one. One of the GO workers. The man next to her is Rail, and he's a leader. You would call him like a union man for the deaf work in that area of India. He's hearing himself, and I've been encouraging him, you got to learn sign language. So we're going to pray that he will do that soon. The man next, from your right, the next man over, is also deaf, and he's also another one of the GO workers. And the other people were presidents and office workers who came to meet us at Chennai. There you just see a picture of me preaching to a group of deaf people, and there's my interpreter. And interpreters are a different kind of people. She would interpret just straight what I said. Now, John, who was her brother, would actually compliment. You know, he would add what I was saying. And sometimes I say, well, wait, that's not what I said. So we'd have to back up, and then we go forward. But we had so much fun. But I need to tell you that this was made possible only by God. And I tell you why. Because when I filled out the visa, I was told to put down tourist, and then I wrote a letter explaining what I planned to do, and that was to preach to small groups of our deaf members. In about 2 weeks, I got a fax which floored me because it said, I solemnly swear I will not preach at any religious meetings. And I said, I can't sign that. So I prayed to the Lord, you know, if you want me to go, you've got to open the door. The reason, probably part of the reason why this has come up is just before that, John Carter. Some of you have seen his evangelistic meetings. John Carter had rented a soccer coliseum which held 40,000 people. And lo and behold, he filled it. 40,000 people. The people there are so hungry for the gospel of Jesus Christ that when the government was informed by some people who complained, they closed him down and asked him to leave. After only 3 meetings, the people wept in the streets and said, how could this government do this to us? So the tension was probably, tight. And also Doug Batchelor had some problems when he was there. So I said, Lord, well, what do you want me to do? Advice was given to call a general conference, and they said, well, put down on your visa business, not tourist. So I did, but I still wrote a letter explaining that I would be preaching at religious meetings at our churches. So I said, Lord, if you want me to go, you have to open the way. And then a few weeks later, I got a visa which said, okay. So I was really excited, really thrilled. So the Lord opened up the way and made this trip possible. When I was asked to go, I thought that I was going to have a series of meetings. But come to find out, these people had already been prepared for baptism 6 months before. And our coming was only their high day of the baptism day. So the typical schedule was about 18 days in which I went to different churches. And in the morning, I would preach a sermon, and I did call for sacrifices to Jesus Christ in their lives. And I did preach sermons, but most of these people were already prepared. Now, there were a lot of visitors who came because of that, and we were happy for them to come. Then, after the sermon, we would have lunch. And it was right there in the church. On the floor. We provided the lunch. And you'll notice that everybody who's standing, those are go workers. They did not eat. All the people ate first. And they stood around waiting until everybody had finished eating. And then they sat down and ate. I'm not used to that because we were invited to President's home. And his wife and daughters served us. And they were standing there, you know, not sitting at the table and not eating. And I looked at them, I thought, well, so we have to eat while they're waiting for us. When we finished, then they sat down and ate. That was a new experience for me. Of course, the great thrill of being there was to see 207 deaf people baptized. You know, our hearts are just so grateful to see how God can work in spite of extreme poverty. Now, most of these deaf people cannot get a job. They're not allowed to get a driver's license. They have to beg for their money. And maybe they'll manage to get $1 a day. Extreme poverty. But the Lord has put in their hearts the desire to know Jesus Christ. Amen. This is one of the first churches that was built for the Adventist deaf people. So you can see right on the front of the church. Can you see the words? It says deaf ministry. Oh yeah, you can see it. Yeah. This church only cost $8,000 to build. Wow, compared to building this church here. This lady was attending that church. She was deaf, and the man next to her is Rayo. He's the leader of the deaf work. And we had been told you must not give any money away to anybody. And I didn't understand that. Of course, I found out later because it's not fair if you help one and not the others. But Rayo said, I'll give you this exception. This woman had no education. She didn't even know sign language, so to speak, because she'd never gone to school. And she was shaking. And I asked, and I said, what? Is she ill? And he said, no, she's suffering from malnutrition. She had plenty of white rice, but that didn't feed what she needed nutritionally. And so she was shaking. So John, who was my partner, was with me, and we put some money together and gave her enough food probably to last for about a year. Now, we didn't give her that much money, but food, and the money goes a long way there. We also had a meeting at a hospital that was run by an Adventist physician. And he's holding this woman's arm. And how many of you can guess what this lady has? leprosy. What I was so impressed that he says now with medications, only 3 months she'd be well with medications. So we thank the Lord for his work in that hospital. The people who come to the hospital are not charged anything for this service. This was a woman who was still taking care of a household, and she couldn't cook because of her hands. She wasn't able to stir, you know, the pot. And so the hospital gave her medication. She got well. And look what they did for her. They put a leather strap on a spoon so that she could stir the pot, you know, to serve her family. One of the things that we're trying to do for the deaf people in India is to help them to become self-sufficient. And so we've opened several sewing schools for the deaf ladies so that they don't have to, you know, beg for money. And they're told that if they'll come to this 9-month course every day, that they will get a free sewing machine. And most of this money is dedicated from people in Canada through John Blake. Here's a mother. She had become a teacher of these deaf girls, how to sew. This young woman is also deaf. She was reading when she went to sleep, and a candle caught her clothes on fire and burned her arm and her face. She has a very difficult time opening her mouth just to eat. Doctors could operate, and it would be a simple surgery, but she said, well, I don't have any money. The extreme poverty there is just amazing to me, and how much we have compared to them. So we prayed about it, and we got some money together, and hopefully in the next few months she'll have the surgery that'll make her able to open her mouth, eat more easily, and even she was hard of hearing, so she could, I should have said she's hard of hearing, so she could speak a little bit. She would teach the students in the church, and there you can see the sewing machines. There was this woman on your left, in the pink. It was a go-worker, and she was encouraging the lady students to be sure and come to the sewing class regularly. Here's a young woman who was coming to church, and she came to our meetings. She was not a member yet. But she came and brought her little girl. And I looked at that little girl, and I'd never seen one quite like that before. So I turned to my interpreter, and I asked, I said, where in the world did she come from? And the sad thing is that the devil attempts to destroy what mothers try to do. Because the story that I got was this. That she had gone to the United States and got pregnant and came back and had this white child. And I thought to myself, what? This is a woman that's very poor. She couldn't afford to go to a state. So I looked again, and this time I realized what you've already realized, that this little baby is a what?
Albino.
Yeah, albino. You know, sometimes when you're under pressure and you're so busy, I didn't look very closely at first. But now then I realized that here she was trying to do her best for her daughter. This daughter is going to have a lot of challenges in India because of the sun, you know, and she doesn't have any pigmentation. That sort of closes my slides. I have hundreds of slides, and I didn't want to take all of church service to show them. But I do want to talk about my mother, because my mother was one who had such a tremendous influence on my life. So my dad met her at camp meeting, July 1942. And a few years later, 1945, I came along. And everybody at school called me Freddie the Freeloader. Which I didn't understand because we didn't watch television. But apparently during that time there was a program on TV which, I don't know if it was a theme or a character. Anyway, it was a Freddie Freeloader and they always called me that at school. My mother was a hardworking woman who loved Jesus Christ. When she was young, she went to the local Adventist church because her mother was an Adventist. And people asked her, said, "Why are you going to church?" Because there's no interpreter. And she said, "Well, I just come to meet Jesus Christ." You know, I've always been impressed with that because I've seen a lot of deaf people. And there are not many who will come to church and there's no interpreter, at least that I've seen. My mother was a wonderful cook. One day we went camping and my mother forgot and left the trunk of the car open, and we had 4 loaves of bread. 2 of them were from town and 2 of them were homemade. And we had such a small tent, and there was 7 of us, 5 kids, and I'm the oldest. So that the 2 oldest boys, me and my brother, had to sleep outside. So we slept outside, and during the night I heard this noise in the trunk, and it was a bear. And I looked, you know. The next morning, "Hey, Mom, you forgot and left the trunk open." The bear had gone through the food, and guess what? He only took the homemade bread. The bear is a little bit smarter than we are. But my mother was persistent in training us, even to the point of almost making me right-handed. She would put the spoon in my right hand, and I would throw it on the ground. And eventually she gave up because she realized I wanted to be left-handed, which I am today. But she almost made me right-handed. So now I'm both right and left-handed. So the question is, what drives a mother to mother? And I'd like to start with Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. "For God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, and he created them." I thought when I was growing up that that primarily meant that we were made in physical likeness. And even the sign language says image, you know, image, right? But obviously, God had more in mind than that. When he said, "in the likeness of God," he wanted our characters to develop after the likeness of God. And so God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion." Dominion. Looking at that verse, the word dominion is a very interesting Hebrew word which says to love, to take care of, to protect, to nurture. Wow, doesn't that sound like a mother? Yes. You see, when God said be fruitful and multiply, did he mean just to have more kids? No, this multiplication has a word which has a sense of meaning that you pass on. What do you pass on? the character of God. So what drives a mother to mother is the awesome responsibility of passing God's character to her children and to all her grandchildren. Because Eve said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. Now, years ago, that didn't really mean that much to me because it sounds like, well, she had relationships with her husband and she got pregnant and had a child. But no, no, no. This is a very special word where she says, I have gotten a man. The word man is actually man of an exceptional person. So who do you think she thought Cain would become? Jesus Christ, you see. So can you imagine what driving force that gave Eve to train Cain? And we don't know what happened. We're not always successful. But that's what drove her, because she believed that this child was a gift from God. Mothers, when we see what an awesome responsibility, it drives us to love and care for our children. And so today, I have the special privilege of having my wife here today. She can't come very often because she's the principal and teacher of the Manteca Adventist School. But she's also a wonderful mother of my children and grandchildren, six of them. And what an awesome privilege to be given the responsibility of raising in our children God's characteristics. And as your elder read this morning, the scripture reading from 2 Kings chapter 2, you'll remember that he read, and I'm going to read verse 9. Who's speaking here? It's Elijah. And he's saying to Elisha, what's he saying? Ask. And I want you to notice that the word, the sign for ask is very similar to what? To pray. Yeah, see, pray, ask is more like this. But pray is more of a two motion. Doesn't God love us to ask him? And you see, when a mother realizes the awesome responsibility of passing God's characteristics to him, and when she sees her child asking for help, she knows how important it is to ask God for help. See? And God loves for us to ask. You remember, this is exactly the same sentence that God told King who? Solomon. Exactly the same thing. First he says, come on, come on, ask. And I realized how much my mother wanted me to ask. When I was a little boy, my father and mother had to go outside and work on the house we were building. And she said, okay, now you two stay in bed. Of course, there were two cribs, side by side, me and my brother. And my brother, he decided, I don't like to stay in this crib. So he starts crawling out, and he gets over the edge when all of a sudden he falls, and his head goes in between the two bars. And he's hanging by his neck, upside down. And he can't go forward, and he can't go backwards, and he's turning blue. And Well, Dad, Mom, they told us to stay in the bed. Don't get out. I thank the Lord that my mother came in and grabbed him, my brother, and saved his life. And then she asked me, "Why didn't you ask me for help?" And so I realized that a parent wants their children to ask for help, just as God wants us to ask for help. And so Elisha did ask, and what did he ask for? And this is what I believe makes a mother great. I want to tell you that no matter what a mother does, she works hard, washes dishes, cleans the house, and takes care of, you know, sick kids. And all of that, yes, will have an awesome influence, either for good or for evil. But the bottom line is that it all doesn't really matter much unless it's empowered by the Holy Spirit. Because Elisha said, "Please give me a double portion of your Holy Spirit upon me." And you say, "Well, why did you choose Elijah and Elisha?" Well, you'll remember that in the Old Testament, all of your characters are really types of who? Jesus Christ. And so Elijah is a type of who? Jesus Christ. He had the Holy Spirit in his life, which is obvious. But he was a mother, or he was, so to quote, mothering to Elisha. And it's interesting that you'll notice in that chapter, Elijah says to Elisha, "I have to go somewhere. You stay. You stay. You stay." And what does Elisha say? "No. No way. I'm not going to stay. I'm not going to ever be separated from you." Doesn't it sound like a child depending on a mother? And Elijah understood that his training of Elisha would amount to little unless Elisha could receive the Holy Spirit. And so today, I'm just thankful that in spite of the fact that my mother didn't have an interpreter at church, she understood what it meant to pray. Because today, my mother has Alzheimer's. But when she offers the offering for a meal or for worship, she still prays animatedly. You know, with just, you can see that even though her memory is passing away, that hasn't disappeared. And so, by the Holy Spirit, she took the mantle of God's character and passed it to her children, just like Elisha took the mantle of God's character and passed it to a mentor. So that's what really drives a mother. And so today, Jesus Christ stands here and he says, "I have everything that you need for wisdom, skill, patience, love, courage, that you could ever ask for. Will you not ask?" And I just want to say, you know, it's not just mothers here that are mothering. Teachers, fathers, we're all involved in mothering, aren't we? And we need to ask more than ever before. And I truly want you to include me in your prayers, that we all will have a true revival of the Holy Spirit for the latter rain, which God promises he will give to us, just like he promises to give to a mother everything that she needs to raise a child. So Zechariah chapter 10, verse 1 says, do what?
Ask
the Lord for what? Rain. I believe that as a part of the soon coming of Jesus Christ, there needs to be a revival in the church. Because this revival, this second latter rain, will accomplish its last work of perfecting, strengthening Christians to go through the time of trouble. So this morning, if there's a mother who's frustrated, if there's a mother who's discouraged about her children, Jesus Christ stands here and says, just ask and I will give you the Holy Spirit. And with that power of the Holy Spirit, the mother will have the right direction for her child. And each one of us here, too, will have the right direction for our lives. And we will be the kind of children that God wants us to be. So today, we've been talking about what makes a wonderful mother is one who is totally dependent on the Holy Spirit. I'd like, in closing, to take this opportunity for us, as many of us who can, to pray. Let's pray. And what I'm going to do is a silent moment of prayer where each one of you can pray for the mothers in your lives, that as mothers you can pray for your children. And then I'm going to close. So I'm going to invite those of you who can to kneel with me, and those who can't, you just remain seated. And let's close the service with prayer. Our Father in heaven, today we kneel before you because you have promised to us from your holy word that you will send to us a gift of the Holy Spirit, that we may mother according to your will. Lord, you know how we so oftentimes have failed as mothers or as we mother other people. So today we pray for each mother, and we pray for them because they've made such great contributions to our lives, and they've brought such great qualities into our lives, and they've done their best to polish away the rough edges of our lives. Lord, we pray this morning, please, please bless our mothers for the endless hours that they work for you in giving your character to their children, for the energy that they spend upon the children. Bless our mothers for the sacrifices that they have made and given up their own dreams that we could have our own. Bless mothers for being there for us and comforting us and encouraging us and hugging us. Bless our mothers, Lord, for making a home and giving us a place that was safe for us to grow in ways that we could feel valued and cherished. Most of all, Lord, bless our mothers for their unconditional love, loving us no matter what we did, and frequently showing that love to make us look upon Christ as the greatest lover of all. Lord, please bless our mothers mightily with your Holy Spirit, and shower with them upon them the Holy Spirit, that they may have the wisdom and the skill and the ability to do your will in giving that mantle of character to their children. So bless us today with your Sabbath blessing. As we kneel before you, we give our hearts to you, and again say, Lord, please send us the Holy Spirit. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Jesus is the way to the heart of a loving Father, and God reveals that love to us through his cross. We hope that his convicting love has reached your heart through this message. Feel free to contact us at our webpage, http://hayward.netadventist.org, or if you prefer, telephone number is 510-782-3422. Also, you can email us at haywardsdachurch@aol.com. May God's presence go with you through this coming week is our prayer.